of bed, hair all hot and messy, looking up as if I was benign God with answer to all things. Billy held my gaze, whilst belching sick in manner of exorcist, except head remained in forward stationary position instead of spinning round and round. 12:08 a.m. Diarrhea erupted onto Billy's PJs. Billy's bewildered expression, overwhelmed self with love for Billy, ended up in diarrhea, vomit-filled, California-style group hug, embracing Billy, Mabel, and diarrhea sheets, bath mat, PJs, and vaguely sexual nighty. 12:10 a.m. Wished Mark was here. Had sudden flashback to Mark in his loyally dressing gown at night, the glimpse of hairy chest, the sudden flashes of humour at baby chaos, getting all military, trying to organise us all, as if it was some sort of cross-border situation, then realising the absurdity of it all and both of us ending up giggling. He's missing all the little moments, I thought. Missing his own children growing up. Even this would have been funny, instead of confusing and scary. One of us could have stayed with them, and the other done the sheets. Then we could have got into the bunk beds again and giggled about it. And how could anyone else ever delight in them and love them as he would have, even when they are pooing everywhere and... 12:15 a.m. Mummy! Billy jerked self back to reality. Was difficult situation, undeniably. Everyone poo and sick smeared, alarmed and retching. Ideal would be to separate children and fabrics fluids and put both children in warm bath and fine sheets. But what if pooing, vomiting continued? What then? Water could become toxic and possibly cholera-filled, like open sewer in refugee camp. 12:16 a.m. Arrived at makeshift solution. Placing plastic mat on bathroom floor with pillows, towels, etc. generally around. 12:20 a.m. Resolved to go down to washing machine, i.e. fridge to get wine. 12:24 a.m. Closed door and ran down. 12:27 a.m. Having cleared head with swig of wine, realised was immaterial washing sheets, etc. Only essential objective, surely, was to keep children alive until morning, ideally simultaneously avoiding nervous breakdown. 12:45 a.m. Realised wine, though fortifying head, had done opposite to stomach. 12:50 a.m. Threw up. 2 a.m. Billy and Mabel, both now asleep on bathroom floor, on and under towels, cleaned to a degree. Resolve simply to sleep next to them in poo and sick-covered, vaguely sexual nighty. 2:05 a.m. Experiencing pleasing sense of triumph. Like General, who has brought massacre, bloodbath, etc., back from brink, engineering peaceful solution. Even starting to hear theme tune from Gladiator, seeing self as Russell Crowe, partially obscured by caption, "A hero will rise." At same time, however, am unable to avoid sense that attempting any sort of erotic scenario with this sort of thing going on might not be a particularly good idea. A new start, a new me. Friday, 20th of April, 2012. £173. Minutes set aside for meditation, 20. Minutes spent meditating, 0. 2 p.m. Right. Have made a decision. I'm going to completely change. I'm going to return to Zen New Age self-help book study and yoga, etc. Starting from the inside, not the outside. Meditate regularly and lose weight. I've got all set up with candle and yoga mat in bathroom, and I'm going to quietly meditate and settle mind before taking kids to doctors, remembering to allow time to A, get snacks, and B, locate missing car keys. Also, the other things I'm going to do are as follows. I will lose £30. Get on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, instead of feeling old and out of it because everyone except self is on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp. Stop being scared of turning on the television, but instead simply locate and read instruction manuals for TV, Virgin Box, DVD remotes and buttons, so that TV becomes a source of entertainment and pleasure rather than meltdown. Do regular life laundry, cleansing house of all unnecessary possessions, especially cupboard under stairs. So is a place for everything and everything in its place, in manner of Buddhist Zendo, Martha Stewart's house. With above in mind, ask Mum to stop sending me unused handbags, stoles, Wedgwood tureens, etc., reminding her that age of rationing ended some time ago and is now space rather than possessions which is in short supply, at least in Western urban world. Start writing my Hedda Gabler adaptation in order to have professional adult life again. Actually write said screenplay, instead of spending half days setting off to look for something, then wandering vaguely from room to room, worrying about unanswered emails, texts, bills, playdates, go-kart parties, leg waxes, doctor's appointments, parents' evenings, babysitting schedules, strange noise from fridge, cupboard under stairs, reason why telly won't work, then sitting down again, realizing have forgotten what was looking for in the first place. Not wear same three things all the time, but instead go through wardrobe and put together fashionable looks based on celebrities at airports. Clear cupboard under stairs. Find out why fridge is making that noise. Go on email for 1 hour only per day, instead of spending entire day in helpless cyber circle of email, news stories, calendar, Google, and shopping and holiday websites, whilst texting, then not answering any of emails anyway. Not add Twitter, Facebook, WhatsApp, and whatever to cyber circle when have got on them. Deal with emails immediately. And so that email becomes effective means of communication, instead of terrifying unexploded email inbox full of guilt trips and undetonated time vampire bombs. Be better at looking after the children than Chloe the nanny. Establish regular routine with children so everyone knows where they are and what's supposed to be doing, especially self. Read parenting self-help books, including 1, 2, 3, Better, Easier Parenting, and French Children Don't Throw Food, in order to be better at looking after the children than Chloe. Be kinder to Talitha, Jude, Tom and Magda in return for their kindness to me. Go to Pilates once a week, Zumba twice a week, gym 3 times a week, and yoga 4 times a week. I will not drink so much Diet Coke before yoga that entire yoga session becomes exercise in trying not to fart. Ever be late for school run. Do V signs at people during school run. Get annoyed by dishwasher, tumble dryer and microwave beeping in attention-seeking manner to tell you they have finished, wasting time crossly imitating dishwasher by dancing round saying, oh, look at me, I'm a dishwasher, I've washed the dishes. Get annoyed with Mum, Una, or perfect Nicolette. Call Nicolette, Nicorette. Chew more than 10 pieces of Nicorette per day. Hide empty wine bottles from Chloe. Eat grated cheese straight out of the fridge, dropping it all over the floor. Be shouty or snarly with the children, but talk in calm, even, electronic person on voicemail type voice at all times. Drink more than 1 can each of Red Bull and Diet Coke a day. Drink more than 2 non-decaf cappuccinos a day, or 3. Eat more than 3 Big Macs or Starbucks ham and cheese paninis per week. Keep saying 1, 2 in warning voice to children before have decided what to do when get to 3. Lie in bed in the morning thinking morbid or erotic thoughts, but get straight up at 6 o'clock and do self up for school run in manner of Stella McCartney, Claudia Schiffer or similar. Wang around hysterically when things go wrong, but instead achieve acceptance and calm and stand like a great tree in the midst of it all. But how can I accept what happened? Look, I mustn't. Gah! It's time for doctor's appointment and have not got snack ready, written, meditated, or located whereabouts of effing car keys. Fuck! Social Media Virgin. Saturday, 21st of April, 2012. £172. Minutes spent on exercise bike, 0. Minutes spent cleaning out cupboard, 0. Minutes spent working out how to use remotes, 0. Resolutions kept, 0. 9:15 p.m. Children are asleep, and house is all dark and quiet. Oh, God, I'm so lonely. Everyone else in London is out laughing uproariously with their friends in restaurants and then having sex. 9:25 p.m. Look, is absolutely fine being in on own on Saturday nights. We'll simply clear out cupboard under stairs, then get on exercise bike. 9:30 p.m. Just looked in cupboard. Maybe not. 9:32 p.m. Just looked in fridge. Maybe we'll have glass of wine and bag of grated cheese. 9:35 p.m. That's better. I'm going to get on Twitter. With the advent of social media, is no need for anyone to feel isolated and alone ever again. 9:45 p.m. Have got onto Twitter site, but do not understand. Is just incomprehensible streams of gibberish half-conversations with at this and at that. How is anybody supposed to know what's going on? Sunday, 22nd of April, 2012. 9:15 p.m. Okay, have got self set up on Twitter now. Need to find name. Something young-sounding. Totes Amazog Bridget. 9:46 p.m. Maybe not. 10:15 p.m. Jonesy BJ. 10:16 p.m. But why does it call it at Jonesy BJ? At? At what? Monday, 23rd of April, 2012. £176. Oh, God. Twitter followers, 0. 9:15 p.m. Cannot figure out how to put up photo. Is just empty egg-shaped graphic. Is fine. Can be photo of self before was conceived. 9:45 p.m. Right. We'll wait for followers. 9:47 p.m. No followers. 9:50 p.m. Actually, we'll not wait for followers. A watched pot never boils. 10 p.m. Wonder if I've got any followers yet. 10:02 p.m. No followers. 10:12 p.m. Still no followers. Oomph. Whole point of Twitter is you are supposed to talk to people, but there isn't anyone to talk to. 10:15 p.m. Followers, 0. Feel lurching sense of shame and fear. Maybe they are all twittering to each other and ignoring me because I'm unpopular. 10:16 p.m. Maybe even twittering to each other about how unpopular I am behind my back. 10:30 p.m. Great. Not only am I isolated and alone, but also, now clearly, unpopular. Tuesday, 24th of April, 2012. £175. Calories, 4,827. Number of minutes spent fiddling furiously with technological devices, 127. Number of technological devices managed to get to do anything they were supposed to, 0. Number of minutes spent doing anything nice apart from eating 4,827 calories and fiddling with technological devices, 0. Number of Twitter followers, 0. 7:06 a.m. Just remembered, am on Twitter. Feel wildly puffed up, part of huge social revolution, and young. Last night, I just didn't give it enough time. Maybe thousands of followers will have appeared overnight. Millions. I will have gone viral. Cannot wait to see how many followers have come. 7:10 a.m. Oh. 7:11 a.m. Still, no followers. Wednesday, 25th of April, 2012. £178. Number of times checked for Twitter followers, 87. Twitter followers, 0. Calories, 4,832. Bad, but fault of non-existent Twitter followers. 9:15 p.m. Still no followers. Have eaten the following things. 2 chocolate croissants. 7 Baby Bell cheeses, but one was half eaten. 1/2 a bag of grated mozzarella. 2 Diet Cokes. 1.5 leftover sausages from kids' breakfast. 1/2 a McDonald's cheeseburger from fridge. 3 Tunnocks tea cakes. 1 bar Cadbury's Dairy Milk, large. Tuesday, 1st of May, 2012. 11:45 p.m. Have just been whitelisted by Twitter for checking my followers 150 times in 1 hour. Wednesday, 2nd of May, 2012. £174. Twitter followers, 0. 9:15 p.m. I'm not going to do Twitter anymore, or check followers anymore. Maybe we'll go on Facebook. 9:20 p.m. Just called Jude to ask how to get on Facebook. Be careful, she said. It's a good way of keeping in touch, but you'll end up looking at endless pictures of exes embracing their new girlfriends, then finding they've defriended you. Humph, not very likely to happen to me. I'm going to try Facebook. 9:30 p.m. Maybe we'll wait a bit before attempting Facebook. Jude just called me back laughing. Really, don't do Facebook yet. I've just got a thing saying Tom is checking out dating profiles. He must have ticked a box by accident. Everyone can see, including his parents and former psychology professors. The Flabby Diaphragm. Wednesday, 9th of May, 2012. £175. Twitter followers, 0. 9:30 a.m. Emergency. Back has gone. I mean, not actually gone, in sense of still having shoulders attached to bottom, but was just checking Twitter for followers, then slammed laptop shut, tossing head dismissively and saying, pah! And whole of left upper back suddenly went into spasm. Is like I didn't notice I had a back before, and now it is complete agony. And what am I going to do? 11 a.m. Just back from osteopath. Osteopath said it is not fault of Twitter, but due to years of lifting children, and I should try bending from the legs instead of the back, i.e. squat, like an African tribal woman, which seems a bit ungainly, though not to insult the gracefulness of African tribal women, who are, of course, very graceful. She asked if I had any other symptoms, and I said, acid. She poked around my stomach, exclaiming, gosh, this is the flabbiest diaphragm I've ever felt. Turns out, because of my age, my entire middle section has refused to go back like it was, and all my intestines are flobbering about, uncontained. No wonder they're hanging over my black sweatpants like porridge. What shall I do? You'll have to start working that stomach, she said. And you'll have to lose some of the fat. There's a very good new obesity clinic at St. Catherine's Hospital. Obesity clinic? I said indignantly, jumping up from the bed and putting my clothes back on. I might have a bit of baby fat, but I'm not obese. No, no, she said hurriedly. You're not obese. It's just very effective if you want to lose weight properly. It's very hard when you've got little ones. I know, I gabbled. It's all very well knowing what you're supposed to be eating, but if you're surrounded by leftover fish fingers and chips at 5 o'clock every night, and then eat them and have your own dinner later... Exactly. The clinic puts you on meal replacement, so there isn't any argument, said the osteopath. You just don't put anything else into your mouth. Not sure what Tom, Jude and Talitha would say about that one. Harumph, harumph. Left in huff, then had sudden urge to go back in and say, will you follow me on Twitter? 9:15 p.m. Got home and surveyed self aghast in mirror. I'm starting to look like a heron. My legs and arms have stayed the same, but my whole upper body is like a large bird with a big roll of fat round the middle that, when clothed, looks like it should be served up at Christmas with cranberry jelly and gravy. When unclothed, as though it's been cooking all night in a pot in a box full of straw in Scotland and is about to be served up for an extended family's post-Hogmanay breakfast. Talitha is right. The secret is to alter the automatic fat positioning of, unacceptable outdated phrase approaching, middle age. Thursday, 10th of May, 2012. £174. Twitter followers, zero. 10 a.m. Just spoke to obesity clinic. Encouragingly, there was some doubt over whether I was actually obese enough to be accepted. Found self, for first time in life, lying about weight to make it heavier than it actually is. 10:10 a.m. I'm going to completely transform my body into a lean, muscular thing with tight band of muscle round the middle, holding in the intestines. 10:15 a.m. Just reflexively put remains of kids' breakfast into mouth. Thursday, 17th of May, 2012. £175. Twitter followers, zero. 9:45 a.m. On point of obesity clinic departure. Feel have got to lowest ebb ever. Will be like one of those people you see in medical news reports, looking ashamed of themselves, having their blood pressure taken in hospital gowns, while a trim, streamlined reporter talks in front of them in stern, concerned tones about the obesity epidemic. 10 p.m. Obesity clinic was fantastic. After initial awkwardness of having to repeat the obesity clinic increasingly loudly to the receptionist, eventually reached the clinic to see a man who was so large he was actually wheeling his fat on a trolley in front of him. He seemed to be being hit on by an only slightly less large woman who was saying to him in a seductive voice, "Were you childhood obese?" People were looking at me with a sort of admiration I hadn't felt since I was 22, and running round in a psychedelic shirt tied up in a knot, revealing my flat midriff. Realised they must think I was one of the clinic's success stories nearing the end of my programme. Felt unaccustomed, leaping sense of self-confidence. Realised this was wrong and disrespectful to fellow patients. Also, the very fact of seeing fat as a separate body attachment being wheeled on a trolley started to make me see fat as an actual thing. Realise, in the past, have seen fat as some totally unreasonable, random act of nature, rather than a direct product of things put in mouth. "Name?" said the man on reception, who, worryingly, was very fat himself. Surely the people who work at the clinic ought to have got this one down by now. The whole thing was medical and complex. Blood tests, ECGs and consultations. Once we got over the moment of awkwardness when they tried to put me down on the form as a geriatric mother, it all went absolutely swimmingly. Seems like the whole thing of weighing yourself is not the point. The point is to drop dress sizes. And people who are very, very fat, say 50 or 100 pounds overweight, can lose a lot, like 12 pounds of fat in 1 week. And that is actual fat. But if you're just trying to lose 10-15% of your body weight, anything more than a couple of pounds isn't losing fat, it's darkly other things. You see, crucially, is not about weight, but the percentage of fat to muscle. If you just go on a crash diet and do not lift weights, you end up losing your muscles, which are heavier than your fat. So you weigh less, but are more fat, or something. Anyway, upshot is, I'm supposed to go to gym. My diet is going to be just protein chocolate puddings and protein chocolate bars, then a small portion of protein and vegetables in the evenings. So I mustn't put anything in my mouth which isn't those things, apart from penises. Why did mine think such a thought? Chance would be a fine thing. Though, after today, it is suddenly looking like that might be a possibility. Makeover. Thursday, 24th of May, 2012. £179. Pounds lost, zero. Twitter followers, zero. Protein chocolate bars consumed, 28. Chocolate protein puddings consumed, 37. Number of meals replaced by protein chocolate bars or puddings, zero. Average number of calories per day eaten combining normal food with protein products, 4,798. Just went to obesity clinic for first week's progress weigh-in. Bridget, said the nurse, you're supposed to replace the meals with the protein products, not eat them as well. Looked sulkily at the chart, then blurted out, will you follow me on Twitter? I am not, she said, on Twitter. Now, next week, forget about Twitter and just eat the products. Nothing else, okay? 9:15 p.m. Children are asleep. Oh, God, I'm so lonely. Twitter followerless, fat, hungry, and sick of effing obesity products. Hate this time of day when children are asleep. Should be relaxing and fun, instead of just lonely. Right, I'm not going to wallow in it. In next 3 months, I'm going to lose £75, gain 75 Twitter followers, write 75 pages of screenplay, learn to operate television, find friend with children same age who lives nearby so whole evening is fun instead of chaos followed by grated cheese stuffing fest. Yes, that is what I need. Is not natural for children to be isolated in individual houses with one or two adults focusing far too much attention on their happiness, scared to let them play in the street for fear of paedophiles. Sure, there must have been paedophiles when we were growing up, but mass media-induced fear of paedophiles has changed the whole face of parenting. Need other parents to spontaneously talk and drink wine with while children play. So the whole thing would be like an extended Italian family having dinner under a tree. For as the saying goes, it takes a whole village to raise a child. Also, to get a celebrity ready for the red carpet. Actually, there is a nice woman I have seen opposite who seems to have children. Though nice is perhaps the wrong word. She is wildly bohemian, with mane of black hair topped off with things that would be more at home in a garden centre or pet shop than on a head. Whole thing might look strange were it not for her equally outlandish, dark, bohemian beauty. Have seen her along with other people coming and going. Children, teenagers, nannies, mannies, lovers, a ruggedly handsome man who may be a husband or a visiting artist, and, from time to time, a baby. Maybe she has kids the same age. Feeling more jolly now. Tomorrow will be better. Thursday, the 31st of May, 2012. £175. Yay! Have lost £4 since last week and back to weight at start of diet. Though nurse says loss is not really fat, but other things. Also says I need to start, e.g. cycling, instead of sitting on my arse all day. Thursday, 7th of June, 2012. £171. 10 a.m. Have embraced the bike-borrowing scheme of our eccentric, i.e. sensible, Mayor Boris Johnson. Bought Boris Bike key and borrowed Boris Bike and everything. Suddenly feel part of cool bicycling London. Whole world of carefree young people eschewing cars and being lean and green. I'm going to cycle to obesity clinic. 10:30 a.m. Just returned. Traumatized from bike ride. Completely terrifying. Kept feeling had forgotten to put seatbelt on and getting off whenever a car came. Maybe we'll go on canal towpath. 11:30 a.m. Just back from canal ride on bike. Went really well until someone threw an egg at me from a bridge. Or maybe it was a bird which went into sudden early labour. We'll clean off egg, not do Boris bikes anymore, and go to obesity clinic on bus. At least we'll be alive and clean when sitting on arse, instead of dead and covered in egg. Thursday, 14th of June, 2012. £167! Keep repeatedly taking off clothes and getting on scales, then taking off watch, bracelet, etc., and staring delightedly at dial. Just makes me want to do diet more. Wednesday, 20th of June, 2012. 1 p.m. Have just been to gym. Which is good, though hideous, obviously. Also, what is the law which says that when changing room is empty except for one other person, their locker will always be the one directly above yours? Now I'm going to go back on Twitter and find people. 1:30 p.m. At Dalai Lama. Just as a snake sheds its skin, so we must shed our past again and again. You see, the Dalai Lama and I are one cybermind. I am shedding my fat like a snake. Wednesday, 27th of June, 2012. 9:30 a.m. Have started my Hedda Gabler screenplay. It is really very relevant because it is about a girl living in Norway, which I'm going to translate to Queen's Park, who decides her dancing days are over and nobody lovely is going to actually marry her, so goes for someone boring, like grabbing the last seat when the music stops in musical chairs. Maybe I will also make her lose loads of weight and get millions of Twitter followers. 10 a.m. Maybe not. Twitter followers, zero. Thursday, 28th of June, 2012. £159. Pounds lost, 16. OMG. Have lost £16. The strange thing is, where hundreds and hundreds of diets over the years have failed or lasted 5 days, this one is actually working. It is something about going every week and being weighed and having my fat-to-muscle ratio measured and knowing I can't cheat and tell myself I'm on the hay diet when I want a baked potato and the Weight Watchers diet when I want a Mars bar. Also, just found I can fit into dress I had before I was pregnant, though admittedly tent-shaped, and that has whipped me into a frenzy of optimism. Thursday, 12th of July, 2012. £155. Pounds lost, 20. Pages of screenplay written, 10. Twitter followers, 0. 9:15 p.m. Oh, God. I'm so lonely. Right. I'm going to really get going on Twitter. 9:20 p.m. Dalai Lama has 2 million followers, and yet he follows no one. That is right. A god cannot follow others. Wonder if he actually tweets himself, or does he get his assistant to do it? 9:30 p.m. Complete meltdown. Lady Gaga has 33 million followers. Why am I even bothering? Twitter is a giant popularity contest, which I am doomed to be the worst at. 9:35 p.m. Just texted Tom, explaining that Lady Gaga has 33 million followers and I have 0 followers. 9:40 p.m. You're supposed to follow people. Otherwise, how are they supposed to know you're on Twitter? But the Dalai Lama follows no one. You're not a god or Lady Gaga, dear. You have to be proactive. Follow me, at Tomcat37. 10 p.m. At Tomcat37 has 878 followers. How did he manage that? Friday, 13th of July, 2012. 10:15 p.m. I've got a follower. You see? People are starting to notice my style. 10:16 p.m. Oh. At Tomcat37. You see? You've got a follower. Now keep going. It's just Tom. Tuesday, 17th of July, 2012. £152. Twitter followers, 1. Noon. Glorious and historic day. Just went shopping to H&M and asked the assistant to bring me a 16. And she looked at me as if I was mad and said, "You need a 14. I scoffed. "I'll never fit into a 14. And she brought it, and it fitted. I am a 14. And I have a follower. I'm practically viral. Thursday, 26th of July, 2012. £149. Pages of screenplay, 25. Twitter followers, 1. Yay! Have broken through a £150 glass floor. Though may have been through standing on one leg, and slightly leaning on washbasin. Also, am on total screenwriting roll. Have decided to call my screenplay The Leaves in His Hair, which is Hedda's most famous line in Hedda Gabler, even though it is only famous because nobody understands what she means. Monday, 30th of July, 2012. £148. Twitter followers, 50,001. 9:15 p.m. I've got another follower, but a weird follower. It's a follower with 50,000 followers. 9:35 p.m. What is it? It's just sort of hovering there like a spaceship, watching silently. Feel I ought to fire on it or something. 9:40 p.m. It's called XTC Communications. 10 p.m. Just tweeted whole weird follower scenario to Tom, who tweeted back, @tomcat37 @jonesybj. It's a spam bot, baby. It's just marketing. 10:30 p.m. Teehee. Just replied, @jonesybj @tomcat37. I already have a spam bot. You should have seen it today in the harsh rays of the early morning sun. Tuesday, 31st of July, 2012. Twitter followers, 50,001. 2 p.m. 50,001 followers. Feeling fabulous. Just bought Lip Plumper. It feels a bit funny, but actually seems to work. 3 p.m. Wonder if put Lip Plumper on hands will get fat fingers. Wednesday, 1st of August, 2012. Twitter followers, 1 again. 7 a.m. Humph. Spam bot has just, like, gone, taking its 50,000 bloody followers with it. Ah! Kids are awake! 9:15 p.m. We'll just check Twitter. 9:20 p.m. Tom has retweeted my spam bot tweet, and 7 followers have come. 9:50 p.m. What should I do now, though? Should I greet them? Welcome them? 9:51 p.m. Follow them? 10 p.m. Paralyzed into silence by social media embarrassment. Maybe we'll not do Twitter anymore. Thursday, 2nd of August, 2012. £142. Pounds lost, 33. Muscles grown, 5%. Whatever that means. 1 p.m. Giddily euphoric. Just went to obesity clinic, and nurse says I am now ahead of target and model patient. Then went to H&M again to check size, and am a 12. Am thin and not a heron. Am Uma Thurman. Am Jemima Khan. 2 p.m. Just nipped into Marks and Spencer's to purchase celebratory chocolate mousse cake and have eaten whole thing like a polar bear taking great swipes out with his paw. Friday, 3rd of August, 2012. £145. Emergency. 10 a.m. Chocolate mousse cake has, I swear, moved directly from my mouth to my stomach and is just sitting there under my skin, like the foil bag inside a cheap wine box. Must abandon screenplay, career, etc., and go to gym. Noon. Am never going to gym again. Am never going to lose the weight. Never, and don't bloody well care. Was consumed with rage whilst lying on front with bum in air, failing to lift weight bar with ankles. Looked round to see everyone contorted ludicrously in machines, like Hieronymus Bosch painting. Why are bodies so difficult to manage? Why? Oh, look at me. I'm a body. I'm going to splurge fat unless you, like, starve yourself and go to undignified torture centres and don't eat anything nice or get drunk. Hate diet. Is all fault of society. I'm just going to be old and fat and eat whatever I like and never have sex again and wheel my fat around on a trolley. Sunday, 5th of August, 2012. Wait. Unknown. Daren't look. 11 p.m. Have today consumed the following things. 2 healthy start, i.e. 482 calories each, muffins. Full English breakfast with sausages, scrambled egg, bacon, tomatoes and fried bread. Pizza Express pizza. Banana split. 2 packets of Rolos. 1/2 a Marks and Spencer chocolate cheesecake. Actually, if I'm honest, whole of a Marks and Spencer cheesecake. 2 glasses of Chardonnay. 2 packets cheese and onion crisps. 1 bag grated cheese. 1 12-inch jelly snake purchased at the Odeon Cinema. 1 bag popcorn large. 1 hot dog large. Remains of 2 hot dogs large.
Ha! Ha! Bloody ha! Put that in your pipe and smoke it, society!
Thursday, 9th of August, 2012. 152 pounds. Weight gained since last week. 10 pounds. Though maybe chocolate cheesecake is still intact in stomach. 2 p.m. Could hardly bring self to go to obesity clinic, as was so ashamed. Nurse took one look at scales, marched me into the doctor, and then made me go into the group therapy room, where everyone else talked about their eating relapses. Actually, it was great. Mine was definitely the best, and everyone seemed deeply impressed. 9:15 p.m. In spite of, or perhaps proving nurse's lecture, it takes 3 days to create a habit and 3 weeks to break it. Just want to eat cake and cheese again, and go back next week and impress everyone even more. 9:30 p.m. Just called Tom, grated cheese falling out of my mouth, and explained the whole thing.
No! Don't start trying to out-relapse obese people, he said. What about Twitter? Have you followed your followers? Follow Talitha.
9:45 p.m. Tom just tweeted me Talitha's Twitter address. 9:50 p.m. At Talitha Lucky Bitch has 146,000 followers. Hate Talitha. Hate Twitter. Feel like eating cheese again. Or Talitha. 9:52 p.m. Just tweeted Tom. At JonesyBJ, at TomCat37. Talitha has 146,000 followers. At TomCat37, at JonesyBJ. Don't worry, dear. They're mostly people she slept with or been married to. 10 p.m. Talitha tweeted back. At Talitha Lucky Bitch, at TomCat37, at JonesyBJ. Darling, it's really terribly vulgar to display the green-eyed monster on Twitter. Friday, 10th of August, 2012. Twitter followers, 75. Then 102. Then 57. Then probably none by now. 7:15 a.m. 75 followers have mysteriously, silently appeared overnight. 9:15 p.m. 102 now. Feel overwhelmed by responsibility, like I'm leader of a cult, and they will all jump into a lake or something if I tell them to. Maybe we'll have a glass of wine. 9:30 p.m. Must clearly show leadership and address followers. At JonesyBJ. Welcome, followers. I am thy leader. Ye art most welcome to my cult. At JonesyBJ. But please do not do anything weird like jump into a lake, even if I suggest it, as may be drunk. 9:45 p.m. At JonesyBJ. Gah! 41 of ye followers have drained away as suddenly as ye first appeared. At JonesyBJ. Comest thou back? Thursday, 16th of August, 2012. 137 pounds. Pages of screenplay written, 45. Twitter followers, 97. 4:30 p.m. Twitter followers have surged back and multiplied, rather like Pinocchio's broomstick. Is clearly sign or portent. Weight is coming off again, have finished Act 2 of screenplay, well, sort of, and just had sighting of Bohemian Neighbour. Was trying to park car,
This is impossible in our street, as is narrow, curved, and cars park on both sides. Had just reversed in and out of space 14 times, then resorted to braille parking, i.e. forcing car into space by bumping cars in front and behind. Braille parking is fine in our street, because everyone does it. Then every so often, a delivery lorry charges through, scraping everyone, someone takes its number, and we all get our dents done on the insurance.
Mummy, said Billy, there's someone in the car you bumped.
The bohemian neighbour was sitting in the front seat, yelling at the kids in the back. I knew we were kindred spirits. She climbed out of the car, followed by her two dark, wild-looking children. They looked the same age as Billy and Mabel, older boy, younger girl. Then the bohemian neighbour looked at her bumper, grinned at me, and disappeared into her house. We have initiated contact. We are on the friendship road. As long as she does not behave like the spam bot. Thursday, 23rd of August, 2012. £135. Pounds lost? 40. Unbelievable. Dress sizes dropped? 3. Historic and joyful day. Have not got fat anything. Obesity clinic says have now got down to healthy weight and should go on maintenance, and losing more weight is only for aesthetic reasons and not because they think I need it. And to prove it, I just went to H&M again, and I am a 10. I have written half of screenplay and at least ascertained that have neighbour with children the same age. I have 79 Twitter followers and am part of hooked-in generation of social media people. And I am a size 10. You see, maybe am not completely rubbish. Monday, 27th of August, 2012. Acts of screenplay written, 2.25. Twitter followers, 87. Mabel is so funny. She was sitting staring ahead in an eerie manner. What are you doing? Said Billy, brown eyes looking at her intently, slightly amused. Mark Darcy. Mark Darcy recreated in child form.
Having a staring competition, said Mabel. Who with? The chair, said Mabel, as if it was the most obvious thing in the world.
Billy and me started giggling. Then suddenly he stopped and looked at me.
You're laughing again, Mummy.
Smug married hell. Saturday, 1st of September, 2012. £135. Positive thoughts, 0. Romantic prospects, 0. 10 p.m. Giant step backwards. Just back from Magda and Jeremy's annual joint birthday drinks. Was late because it had taken me 20 minutes to do up my zip, despite the time I had spent in yoga attempting to interlink my hands behind my shoulder blades and trying not to fart. On the doorstep, the memories surged up again. The years when I would stand there with Mark, with his hand on my back. The year I'd just found out I was pregnant with Billy, and we were going to tell them all. The year when we took Mabel, all wrapped up in her little car seat. It was so lovely going to things with Mark. I never worried about what I was wearing, because he'd watch me try everything on before we left and help me choose, and tell me I didn't look fat, and do all the zips. He always had something kind and funny to say if I did something stupid, was always batting off any jellyfishing remarks, the kind that suddenly zap you as if from nowhere in the middle of a conversational warm sea. I could hear the music and laughter inside, fought the urge to run off, but then the door opened, and Jeremy was there. I saw Jeremy feeling what I was feeling, the yawning gap beside me. Where was Mark, his old friend?
Ah, there you are. Excellent, said Jeremy, blustering over the pain, as he had consistently done since the moment it happened. That's public school for you.
Come in, come in. Great. How are the children? Growing up?
No, I said rebelliously. They are stunted by grief and will be midgets for the rest of their lives. Jeremy has clearly never read any Zen books and doesn't know about just being there and letting the other person be there just as they are. But for a split second, He stopped the bluster, and we just were there, as we were, which was extremely sad about the same thing. Then he coughed and started again as if nothing had happened.
Come on, body and tonic, let's take your coat. You're looking very trim.
He ushered me into the familiar sitting room, and Magda waved cheerily from the drinks table. Magda, who I met at Bangor University, is actually my oldest friend. I looked around at all the faces I'd known since my early 20s, once the original Sloane Rangers, older now. All the couples who seemed to get married like a line of falling dominoes when they were 31, still together. Cosmo and Woni, Pony and Hugo, Johnny and Mufti. And there was the same sense I'd had for all that time, of being a duck out of water, unable to join in what they were talking about, because I was at a different stage of life, even though I was the same age. It was as though there had been a seismic time shift, and my life was happening years behind theirs, in the wrong way.
Oh, Bridget, jolly good to see you. Goodness, you've lost weight. How are you?
Then there was the sudden flash in the eyes, the remembering of the whole widowhood thing. How are the children? How are they doing? Not so Cosmo, Woni's husband, a successful, confident though egg-shaped fund manager who came charging up like a blunderbuss.
So, Bridget, still on your own? You're looking very chipper. When are we going to get you married off again?
Cosmo, said Magda indignantly. Zip it. One advantage of widowhood is that, unlike being single in your 30s, which, because it is ostensibly all your own fault, allows smug marrieds to say anything they like, it does usually introduce some element of tact. Unless, of course, you're Cosmo.
Well, it's been long enough now, hasn't it? He crashed on. Can't carry on wearing widow's weeds forever.
Yes, but the trouble is, Woni joined in. It's very hard for middle-aged women who find themselves single.
Please don't say middle-aged, I purred, trying to imitate Talitha. I mean, look at Binko Carruthers. He's no oil painting. But the second Rosemary left him, he was inundated with women. Inundated. Throwing themselves at him. Hurling themselves, said Hugo enthusiastically. Dinners, theatre tickets, life of Riley. Yes, but they are all of a certain age, aren't they? Said Johnny.
Grr.
Of a certain age is even worse than middle-aged, with its patronising only ever applied to women insinuations. Meaning? Said Woni.
Well, you know, Cosmo was bludgeoning on. Jap gets a new lease of life. He's going to go for something younger, isn't he? Plump and fecund and...
Caught the quick flash of pain in Woni's eyes. Woni, not an advocate of the Talitha School of Branding, has allowed the fat positioning of middle age freely to position itself all over her back and beneath her bra, her skin falling exhausted into the folds of her experience, unpolished by facials, peels, or light-reflecting makeup bases. She has let her once long and shiny dark hair go grey and cut it short, which only serves to emphasise the disappearance of the jawline, which, as Talitha says, can be quickly glossed over with some well-cut face-framing layers, and has gone for a Zara version of the structured black frock and high-ruffled collar favoured by Maggie Smith in Downton Abbey. I sense Woni has done this, or rather not done any rebranding, presumably not out of feminism as such, but partly out of an old-fashioned British sense of personal honesty, partly because she can't be asked, partly out of self-belief and confidence, partly because she doesn't define herself by how she looks or her sexuality, and perhaps mainly because she feels herself loved unconditionally for who she is, albeit by Cosmo, who, in spite of his spherical physique, yellow teeth, hairless scalp and unbridled eyebrows, clearly feels he would be unconditionally loved by any woman lucky enough to have him. But for a second, at that flash of pain in Woni's eyes, I felt a surge of sympathy, until she went on. What I mean is that for a single man of Bridget's age, it's a total buyer's market. No one's knocking at Bridget's door, are they? If she was a middle-aged man with her own house and income and two helpless children, she'd be inundated by people wanting to take care of her. But look at her. Cosmo looked me up and down.
Well, yes, we ought to get her fixed up, he said.
But I just don't know who would, you know, at a certain age.
Right, I burst out. I've had enough of this. What do you mean, middle-aged? In Jane Austen's day, we'd all be dead by now. We're going to live to be 100. It's not the middle of our lives.
Oh, yes, well, actually it is the middle, come to think of it. But the point is, the whole expression, middle-aged, conjures up a certain look.
I panicked, glancing at Wony, feeling myself plunging helplessly into a deepening hole.
A certain past-itness, non-viability. It doesn't have to be like that. I mean, why are you assuming I don't have a boyfriend, just because I don't blab on about it? I mean, maybe I do have boyfriends.
They were all staring at me, slavering almost.
Do you?
Said Cosmo.
Do you have boyfriends? Said Wony, as if she were saying, do you sleep with a spaceman?
Yes, I lied smoothly about the admittedly imaginary boyfriends.
Well, where are they, then? Said Cosmo. Why don't we ever see them?
I wouldn't want to bring them here, because they'd think you were all too old, set in your ways, and rude, I was about to blurt out. But I didn't, because, ironically enough, as for the last 20 years or more, I didn't want to hurt their feelings. So instead, I used the immensely skillful social manoeuvre I've been employing for the last 2 decades, and said, I need to go to the toilet. Sat down on the loo seat, saying, okay, it's okay. Put some more lip plumper on, and headed back down. Magda was on her way to the kitchen, holding, symbolically enough, an empty sausage plate. Don't listen to bloody Cosmo and Wony, she said. They're just in a frightful state because Max has gone off to university. Cosmo's on the verge of retiring, so they're going to be staring at each other across their Conran Shop 70s-style table for the next 30 years. Thanks, Mag. It's always so nice when things go badly for other people, especially when they've just been rude to you. Magda has never stopped being kind. Now, Bridget, she said, don't listen to that lot. But you do have to start moving on, as a woman. You have to find someone. You can't carry on feeling like this. I've known you for a long time. You can do it. 10:25 p.m. Can I? Can't see any way out of feeling like this. Not at this moment. You see, things being good has nothing to do with how you feel outside. It's all to do with how you are inside. Oh, goody, telephone. Maybe a suitor. 10:30 p.m. Oh, hello, darling. My mother. I'm just ringing quickly to see what we're doing about Christmas, because Una doesn't want her craniofacial at the spa because she's had her hair done, and it's in 15 minutes. Though why she had her hair boofed when she's got a craniofacial and aquazumba in the morning, I have no idea. I blinked confusedly, trying to make sense of what she was talking about. Ever since Mum and Auntie Una moved into St. Oswald's house, the phone calls have been the same. St. Oswald's house is an upscale retirement community near Kettering, only we're not allowed to call it a retirement community. The not-a-retirement community is built around a grand Victorian mansion, almost a stately home. As described on the website, it has a lake, grounds which boast a variety of rare wildlife, i.e. squirrels, Brasserie 120, the bar bistro, Cravings, the more formal restaurant, and Chats, the coffee bar, plus function rooms for meetings, not toilets, guest suites for visiting families, a collection of superbly appointed houses and bungalows, and crucially, an Italianate garden designed by Russell Page in 1934. On top of this lot, there is Viva, the fitness facility, with pool, spa, gym, beauty salon, and hairdresser, and fitness classes, the source of most of the trouble.
Bridget, are you still there? You're not wallowing in it, are you?
Yes, no, I said, attempting the bright, positive tones of someone who is not wallowing in anything.
Bridget, you're wallowing. I can tell from your voice.
I know Mum did go through a dark time after Dad died. The lung cancer took him in 6 months, from diagnosis to funeral. The only positive thing was that Dad did get to hold newborn Billy in his arms just before he died. It was really hard for Mum when Una still had Geoffrey. Una and Geoffrey had been Mum and Dad's best friends for 55 years, and, as they never tired of telling me, had known me since I was running round the lawn with no clothes on. But after Geoffrey's heart attack, there was no holding Mum and Una back. If they feel it now, Mum about Dad or Una about Geoffrey, they rarely show it. There's something about that wartime generation which gives them the capacity to just cheerfully soldier on. Maybe something to do with the powdered eggs and whale meat fritters. You don't want to mope around when you're widowed, darling. You want to have fun. Why don't you come over and jump in the sauna with Una and me? It was kindly meant. But what did she imagine I was going to do? Run out of the house, abandon the children, drive for an hour and a half, rip off my clothes, have my hair boofed, and then jump in the sauna? So, Christmas. Una and I were wondering, are you going to come to us, or... Have you noticed how when people are giving you two options, the second one is always the one they want you to do? Well, the thing is, darling, there's the St. Oswald's cruise this year, and we wondered if you might like to come, with the children, of course. It's to the Canaries, but it's not all old people, you know. There are some very with-it places they visit. Right. Right, a cruise. Great, I said, suddenly thinking that if the obesity clinic had made me feel thin, maybe an over-70s cruise might make me feel young. Mind, however, now also contained image of me chasing Mabel along a cruise liner deck through a morass of boofed hairdos and electric wheelchairs. You'll be perfectly at home, because it's actually for over-50s, Mum added, unknowingly putting the kibosh on the plan in a